A very important message. If you're lost, he's got a message that God can use to save your soul.
Well, as always, a tremendous honor to get to be with you, dear folks, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. I invite your attention to the Gospel of Mark, first chapter. As you're there turning, I bring you greetings from the New Testament Baptist Church over in Bristol, Tennessee. It's right across the mountainside, so if any of you ever come across, we'd be glad to see you. It is an honor to be here. I'm thankful to God for that. Many of you have been much in prayer for me and us the past few weeks. Doctors thought that I was about had it, but God said I'm not quite finished with you yet. So he's kept me up and going, and seemingly everything's doing well. God is so gracious. In your Bibles there, in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now when John, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the subject that has been assigned me for this conference, and I am thankful for it. Our brother has said it is a very important subject. I know that every man of God that stands feels like they have an important subject. If you don't feel your subject's important, don't get up here. Because it is a burden from the Lord for you, I pray. But I believe we will all agree that speaking to lost souls, people without faith in Jesus Christ, who have never known what it is to repent, turn from their wicked way, fail to obey God, His commands, these are horrible facts and great and hazardous future. Russian roulette would be a child's game compared to failing to repent and believe the gospel. Losing your body would be bad, I guess, but to lose your soul in hell is beyond comprehension. May God bless His word, my prayer. I love the Gospel of Mark. Mark's writings is a little like I have been accused of being, believe that or not, of just getting things said and boiling the water out of the cabbage, we say in places. In these first 14 verses of the Gospel of Mark, he outlines as much as Matthew does in 4 and tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, John coming and declaring the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, baptism, Godhead manifesting in their presence and approval upon His baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ being led to the wilderness for 40 days, John the Baptist being put in prison, and Jesus Christ going into Galilee. Now, that's just in the first 14 verses. He says a lot, doesn't he? And gets it said. But the message that Jesus Christ preached in His first sermon recorded, repent ye and believe the gospel. That should carry great weight of the importance of it. When God Himself declared my first message, is to warn you to repent and believe the gospel. As we think of the command that our Lord and Savior gave, He said, repent ye. Do you understand that drives it right personal to every individual one of us? It is not an issue of whether someone else has repented or whether they're greater sinners than you are. That's totally immaterial. You may live with, you may be married to, you may have parents, you may have siblings, you may have co-workers, you may have close friends, you might have an identical twin. But except you repent, you will perish. This command is from God to each and every individual on the face of His earth. And failure to obey it will bring damnation to your soul. Brother Pruitt said there'd never been anyone saved that didn't believe the gospel. That's true. But it's equally true there's never been anyone saved that did not repent. That's equally true. We live in an age when there's very little teaching of repentance. Many mega churches do not like to utilize words as sin. Repentance, guilt, and condemnation. But they're biblical terms. God's inspired them. And we must never leave them. Repent ye. Three thoughts. I have a nature of repentance. I have a necessity of repentance. And I want to think about a neighbor of repentance. First of all, the nature of repentance. You ever think that repentance is a verb? It's not a noun. It's an action word. Repentance is an act. It's not an emotion that's felt. It is a real, literal, active thing that's granted by God the Holy Spirit, but is worked out in our flesh as we live upon this earth. God-given repentance is a change. Total, complete, longest hair, the longest toenail, and everything in between. It does not just touch a facet of us, but it touches everything in us and of us and about us. It gives us a newness for love, for longing, the desire to serve God, not self, not others. The nature of God-given repentance changes everything about us. Changes how we think. It changes how we live. It changes where we go. It changes how we talk. Before God saved me, I say this to my shame. I had one of the filthiest mouths that anyone could ever have. When God saved me, gave me repentance of that sin,
amen,
and it's gone. I abhor that now. What I did love, I don't even want to be around. I've told many here, you've heard me preach, you may have heard this. First time I ever in my knowledge was inside of any type of a religious organization was 15 years of age at my father's funeral. So that tells you a little bit about my background as far as Christian education and training. I don't know if I ever went back again until after I saved and my wife kept badgering me and browbeating me and nagging me. Finally, I decided it would be easier to go to church a time a week. It would be the third rest of the time. But God gave me repentance. And I found that which I did not want to be around, I just couldn't wait to get to. Have you changed? Huh? This idea that God has saved you and God has given you faith in His Son Jesus Christ and it hasn't made a change in your life is of the devil. Repentance is a real thing that affects us. It is a verb that works in everyone. Job declared in his 42nd chapter in the 5th verse, I believe is right. You know, he said, well, Lord, if I could just only come before you, I'd ask you a thing. And the Lord appeared to him. And Job says, "Oh, I've heard of thee, but the hearing of my ear, now my eyes see. Wherefore, I what? Abhor myself what I see." The old prophet says, "I got to put my hand over my mouth. I done said too much." And friends, we need to have that attitude, and we will have when God brings us to know. Job said, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes." Repentance is an act where God grants the change, total nature of change. I often think of the change that people are walking away from God, walking toward sin, toward hell. But when God gives repentance, you turn around. You start walking towards God. You start walking towards holiness. You start walking towards heaven. And you never go back. That's the nature of repentance. It's a change in every part of us. And the necessity of repentance also comes from the lips of our Lord. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, Jesus Christ, speaking of some that in His day thought, "My goodness, I'm glad I'm not a sinner like those folks were." You know, those who were present at the season He's there speaking that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He's self-righteous. Begin to tell Jesus how bad those Galileans were. Now, like the old Pharisee that went up to the temple. "I thank you I'm not like him. I thank you I'm not like them. I'm so glad I do all this." You know what Jesus said? Jesus answering them said unto them, "Suppose ye, or do you think that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans?" You might think that, but I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Jesus said, "I tell you nay. But except you repent." Repentance is very personal. Very personal. "Ye shall all likewise perish." Or, of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell. Yes, they were the greatest sinners of the world, weren't they? He said, "No, they're no worse than you are. They need no more to repent and turn from their wicked ways than you do. No more than I ever." God bless us that we might do so. The Word of God declares in Acts 17 and verse 30, "The time of this ignorance God winked, but now commandeth all men or mankind everywhere to repent." Have you repented? You say, "I don't know what I need to repent of." Well, you need to repent of that. Yeah. Until you repent, you're living in disobedience to God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God has blessed you, God has given you, and God has gave you blessing upon blessing upon blessing. It's been good. But there's a purpose in His goodness. It should lead you to repent. Yes. Don't be deceived about this. God is not bought. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Repent. Then repentance has a neighbor. That neighbor is believe the gospel. Faith and repentance, or repentance and faith, are instantaneous and inseparable graces. I like that terminology. Go and find out what it means. Some have a repentant unbeliever. Some have a believer who is impenitent. But they're neither one work. Both are lost. Both are contrary to God's Word. The God who grants repentance will give you faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that will happen always and forever. Like the old Campbell's soup jingle. Soup and a sandwich. Can't have one without the other. I don't know about soup and sandwich. Can't have repentance without faith. You can't have faith without repentance. All this preaching of the whole world that they have, that tells you to just simply believe. Go on, live like you did. Get your name on the church roll. Come up to the front. Do all the things. Hey, do all those things you want to and die in your sin and go to hell. You cannot repent of your sin. Believe the gospel. Go to hell. You can't do that. His neighbor is faith or the belief of the gospel. As we think about this evening, I have basically three thoughts with it, and we probably won't get to use it, but we'll see how it goes. First of all, think about the power of faith, belief. The trust or faith that God gives us is just as simply that. You know the difference between a saved person and a lost person? All of it said in... A saved person believes God and acts. Just that simple. There's nothing special about us. No brain of science, rocket science, genius. We just believe God and act. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is such things hoped for." That's we just believe. That word hope, not want to hope I win the lotteries. That word hope, I just know it's coming. I'm waiting for it. I'm excited about it. I'm anticipating it. I know it's coming. And why do we know what's coming? Because of the Word of God. We just believe what the Word of God says. And then it's the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. We act like we see the invisible. Why? Because we do. I've never seen Jesus Christ in flesh, but I've seen Him through the Word of God. And I've never viewed Him as He hung upon the cross of Calvary. Went to that spot, God bless me to go to that spot in Israel, but He wasn't there. And my faith was no more strong when I left that garden tomb than it was when I got there. Because listen, my faith's not in an empty tomb, my faith is in the Word of God. And the desire that He's have given me to serve Him. Brother Pruitt's already said he's going to preach everybody's sermon, so I'll go ahead and get his straightened out. Romans 1:16, power, belief. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. That word, Duma. It's where we get our root word of dynamite. The gospel has power to blow you from unbelief to faith. The gospel has power to knock you down, get you up, and turn you around to give repentance. The gospel has power intrinsic in it when accompanied by the Holy Spirit to give you a new heart and never make an incision. To give you a new mind and an education that you never would have gained at all seminaries and things. Just the ability to believe God. That's all. The gospel has that power. It is the message, not the messenger. God says that He has a purpose for belief. There is a power of faith, and there's a purpose of faith. In Romans 1:17, you know, that's a companion verse for 16. How that? He said, gospel is the power of God and salvation. Or therein is revealed the righteousness, or the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is there about the gospel? That's the power of God and salvation. The law slays. The law condemns. The law shows sin. It don't make you a sinner. We was already a sinner. It just makes us know we're worse. The law is good, just, holy. We're sinners. And God's law was given just to show us how bad we are. It'd be a schoolmaster to bring surprise. Show us our need. And the gospel, that is the power of God to salvation, reveals something we desperately need. Righteousness. Therein is the righteousness of God in the gospel. Beloved friends, understand that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us. His shed blood sacrificed all that He did. Cleanseth us from all our sins. We need more than just a negative sinlessness. We're going to stand in the presence of God. We've got to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And the gospel has to be somewhat inclusive of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect obedience to every jot and tittle of the Word of God, the law of God. For there's where the righteousness of God is manifest in His life. That is why that 2 Corinthians 5:21 is so blessed. For He hath made Him, that is God the Father, hath made the Son to be sin. He who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made definite article. The righteousness of God in Him. We not only need our sins forgiven, we need a positive righteousness that God will be drawn to. And we can never get it outside of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who could ever do it. That is the purpose of this faith and belief. To show the gospel and the righteousness of Christ in it, that we may know it, to have reverence, love, and to respond as we should to the love of God in Christ Jesus for what He has done and doing for us, such sinners. Then there is a product of this. Power in it. There's a purpose of it. There's a power. There's a product. I love the 16th chapter of Acts. I love all the Word of God. I couldn't say that. I love the 16th chapter of Acts. Where the jailhouse rock. You thought Elvis was the first one, didn't you? He was. It was a jailhouse rock in Philippi. Paul and Silas, you know the story, I'm sure. And out preaching the Word of God, they were practical sovereign gracers. Yes. Believers. And they just went out preaching Jesus Christ. They didn't have any more sense to do what God told them to. And of course, they got beat for it, thrown in prison. So Brother Paul and Brother Silas, like good Baptists are, went sulking over in the corner somewhere, crying, moaning and complaining what God had let happen to them. Now, that's the wrong book. If you got that, get you a King James Version. Okay? You know what they did after they were thrust into prison, inner prison? About midnight, they said, "Look, hey, Brother Paul, don't you think we ought to sing a while?" Paul said, "Well, yes, as soon as we pray." So they prayed and sang. God shut that jailhouse and the door swung open. The jailer come running in there with a light, see how many's gone? Oh,
don't hurt yourself though, we're all here.
Don't have a thing to be afraid of. He brought them back out of those inner chambers, inner prison, and says, what must I do to be saved? Did Paul say nothing? He said, nothing you can do. God's going to save you, you'll save you. Don't worry about it. He didn't say that, did Brother Pruitt. He said, well, don't worry about that. You'll be all right. Just don't worry about it. No, Paul said, you've got something you must do. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thou shalt be saved. And thy house. And that jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And new repentance. You say, preacher, that's not what he said. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't have to worry about what he said, he repented or not. You can see it in his life.
That's right.
What'd he do? He took Paul and Silas straight to his house. Give them a bath. Cleaned up their sores. Put ointment in them. Said, how about preaching to my family? All Silas preached to them, the whole house was saved. It's all baptized. I bet you they had a meeting. Goodness gracious. Then the next morning he comes back. And you know the story. You know, there's a church in Philippi. I believe had a big start in its army. You must personally believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must first repent of your sin. Turn from them. Turn to God. What is this belief? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, repent ye and believe whatever you hear. Know, believe the gospel. There's only one. There may be a lot of heresies, but there's only one gospel. If you hear of a gospel that is other than of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you got the wrong gospel. That's the only one that is good news. If you hear something that doesn't tell you about a Savior who died for your sins, who rose again for your justification in believing in Him, and is coming to heaven and is coming back again, don't believe it. You're here tonight. Know what a sinner you are for Almighty God. If you know that, then I got good news. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Jesus Christ came all the sinners, the righteous. You've ever felt how sinful you are? Ever known the power of God? Only sinners are ever saved. The gospel is outlined in 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. It is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe there's a lot of Baptist people that get a misconception of what the gospel is. They think some kind of an emotional plea is the gospel, but it's not. The gospel is not a gospel of fear. It's the good news of promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent. I come before you this evening as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beseech you, be reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. As Ezekiel said, why would you perish? Why? What is there here worth going to hell for? Eternity, long time. Hell's a horrible place. Repent. I'll give everybody a lift hand.